Well, today is the third day of this Rahatsu session, and we're continuing to explore the transmission of the light, the Denko Roku, which is a collection of 53 koans tracing the transmission of the Dharma from the Buddha to each ancestor, moving from India to China to Japan. It was compiled by Zen master Keizan, the Dharma grandson of Dogen, who wrote a verse for each story. Each story describes an awakening experience, the freeing of an individual's karma and their own personal realization. But while each encounter is unique, there's also an element of universal because awakening itself transcends all circumstances and cultures. Each awakening is the awakening of Buddha, the realization of the way, which is unlimited, timeless. The fifth ancestor, Dritaka, said, "A monk has no subject and no object because the mind is not born or extinguished. This is the unchanging way. All Buddhas, too, are unchangeable in this way. The mind has no form. The body, too, has no form." Uptagupta, who was his teacher, said, "You must realize this fully through your own enlightenment." And Dritaka thereupon had great realization. Keizan's verse, "When you gain the marrow, the attainment is clear. Lim Pen still has a secret which he cannot transmit." There's not much I could find about Dritaka. His name apparently means intimate with the limit of reality, which is a bit of a mouthful. The full dialogue that this case is taken from started when he decided to ordain as a monk, and his teacher, Uptagupta, asked him, "Is your intention to make your home departure a departure of mind or of body?" I suspect this sounds familiar from our Taisho yesterday. Dritaka replied, "My request for home departure is not for the sake of mind or body." And Uptagupta then asked, "Well, if not for mind or body, then who leaves home?" And Dritaka then replied, "A monk has no subject and no object because the mind is not born or extinguished. This is the unchanging way. All Buddhas, too, are unchangeable in this way. Mind has no form. Body, too, has no form." Of course, you'll remember that Uptagupta's question echoes directly the question his own teacher, Sanavasa, asked him, "Has your body or mind left home?" So when Dritaka decided to become a monk, Uptagupta challenged him in exactly the same way. What is leaving home? Who is leaving home? Who is this before me? Who is this one? What is this one? How would you answer? Can you sink below the words of the question, below the thinking mind, to the energy there? Dritaka tries to express it as best he can. A monk has no subject and no object. But since he's talking about himself, maybe we could put it a little easier like this. I have no subject and no object. My mind is not born, doesn't die. My mind has no form, and my body, too, has no form. One could argue that Dritaka's answers are intellectual and come from his ideas about essential emptiness, the transient quality of everything. And yet, a moment later, with a little tug from Uptagupta, he has great realization in his own body-mind. So I can't see him as stuck in concepts. Maybe it's even simpler. He's just trying to express what he sees. All ideas have withered away. All boundaries have dissolved. There has never been a single thing. This is the state where everything has died. While there are occasional thoughts, they're like little bubbles that arise and simply dissolve in a vast, vast open space. Yes, there's a point where everything comes to rest, a deep, deep quiet. Maybe you've experienced this already. Maybe it's your current state. Your body may feel like stone or ice, or maybe like a storm of whirling dust has suddenly fallen completely still, pristine, quiet. The past is gone. The future utterly unimportant. There is only right now. The horizon has no edge. Impossible to tell where this body begins or where it ends. You walk, but you don't know that you are walking. Whether you talk or are silent, you have the sense of being dumb, even stupid. You are a simpleton in the sense of very, very simple. Inside or outside, can't tell. And as woman says, you are like a mute person who has had a dream. You know it for yourself alone. It is impossible really to describe the state, but those who have been there recognize it instantly. So Uptagupta gives a tug. You must realize this fully through your own enlightenment. He could have said, "So, this body has no form. What's this?" Whap! Or asked, "Well, who is it then that has no subject or object? Who knows about changing and unchanging? Show me that one." But Uptagupta is very gentle, just gives this encouragement. You must realize this for yourself. You can realize this for yourself. Keep going. And maybe Jataka would just sit silent and still in front of him. The words come in, and sometimes they pass right through us, just like a wind blowing gently through a window. That's okay too. In this state, the state of deep darkness, of not knowing mind, patience and persistence are needed. Just continue to look right into that place where you can't go forward. Having a teacher, having Sangha brothers and sisters, helps you to step into this unknown land over and over again. Helps you to have the courage to sit in that place of total abandonment, the place of great faith. Each of us does have to experience for ourselves the real self, the face which is none other than our own face. Sometimes we just have to find our own way to take a step, the step that is sometimes called the backward step, because it requires letting go, releasing. An old master said, "You who sit on the top of a 100-foot pole, although you have entered the way, it is not yet genuine. Take a step from the top of the pole, and the worlds of the 10 directions are your whole body." In your not knowing state, you're not separate from the way. In fact, the truth is your own face, your own body. This is the not knowing of the Buddha in the very early morning when all was dark, dark. He had sat through all the fireworks and the brilliant display of his thoughts, the deep gut-wrenching pain of his desires and temptations, the escape fantasies, the pain of his own self-doubt, more intimate than the smell of his own skin. All this he sat through steadily, and then nothing. Just the deep black sky, the stars, the chill of stillness, the insects quiet, the breeze died down. Quiet. Nothing moves. Even the mind has stopped moving. He can no longer feel a sense of awareness or effort. Nothing stirs. All dreams are gone, even the dream of the great enlightenment, of the heroic effort. The trees are now his bones, the leaves his eyelashes. His seat has grown roots deep into the earth. His breath can no longer be felt. All hopes dead. All intentions dead. All regrets dead and crumbled like fine ashes. Who can say why or when his eyes lifted up to the morning star? Did the Buddha take a step? Or did the star call to him? Or was there, is there, no step to be taken? The great master Basui wrote in a letter to a student, "In your zazen, think in terms of neither good nor evil. Don't try to stop thoughts from arising. Only ask yourself, what is my own mind? Now, even when your questioning goes deeper and deeper, you will get no answer until you reach a cul-de-sac, your thinking totally checked. You won't find anything within that can be called I or mind." But who is it that understands all this? Continue to probe more deeply yet, and the mind that perceives there is nothing will vanish. You will no longer be aware of questioning, but only of emptiness. When awareness of even emptiness disappears, you will realize that there is no Buddha outside mind and no mind outside Buddha. Now, for the first time, you will discover that when you do not hear with your ears, you are truly hearing. And when you do not see with your eyes, you are really seeing Buddhas of the past, present, and future. But don't cling to any of this. Just experience it for yourself. You must realize this through your own enlightenment. The Buddha told each of us, "Be a lamp unto yourself. No one can do this wonderful work for you. No one can walk your own path except you, with your own feet, your own breath, your own heart. No one can keep going but you yourself, looking when it seems that everything has disappeared. No one can take that final step but you. And yet, when you do take that step, you do not move." John Tarrant wrote this wonderful encouragement talk. "If you want to find the Buddha, look at your hands. Whose hands are these? Whose weariness is this? Whose heat is this? Whose sound is this? Who stretches from one side of the world to the other? If you want to find the Buddha, look at your own face. Look at your own shoulders, your hips, your legs. If you really look at this, you will find that everything is already here. There is no need to go searching around. Everything is clear, and everything has always been clear, and you have always known it. From the beginning, there is no need for any effort or struggle. You just have to become one with the Tao right where you stand. Someone asked Matsu, "How do I accord with the Tao?" And he replied, "I haven't accorded with the Tao since the beginning of my training." Right where you are, that's where the Tao is. Right where your heart is, that's where it flows from. There is no escape. No one else will come in and do this for us. If someone else came in, we wouldn't want them to do it for us, even if angels and deities came in. It's no one else's hands that will save the world. Nobody else's heart will open. It's here, right now. Over and over again, we sit still like wooden Buddhas by the roadside, trying to learn that here we are, sitting still. It's Buddha here who sits still, completely alive, completely free. We are all Buddhas who are learning to be human beings together. Let your speech be silent. Let your inner thoughts be still and sit like a mountain under your own bow tree, on your own cushion. Don't imagine that your struggle is unique. It is the struggle of the person right next to you, the struggle of all who have come before. The Buddha, too, had to sit in that place of boredom, restlessness, doubt, especially that painful sense of his own unworthiness, his own limitations. He had to try many styles of practice before he learned for himself how to practice, how to truly leave home. He had to give up so much, much more than his family and comfortable life. He had to let go of who he thought he was, of his sense of himself, the prince, the ascetic, the spiritual seeker. He abandoned the past, and with each step, he let go a little more until at last he held nothing. When you gain the marrow, the attainment is clear. Limpin still has a secret he cannot transmit. This verse, it refers to a story by the Taoist master Chuangzi about the wheelmaker Limpin, who could not transmit the secret of the art of making wheels even to his own son. When you see, the seeing is clear, but about it you can say nothing. Shh. Realize this fully, yourself, through your own enlightenment. It's not a matter of time. In fact, it's the matter of less than an instant. This instant. Let go of anything you hold and step beyond the question. The question which is beyond all words. Let the vast not knowing receive you. Let the vast not knowing be your whole body. Together with all beings, we realize the way.